Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
What's going on, everybody? Time for another show. Doing tonight's topic on domestic violence. As always, got Ms. Gabriella on the line. What's going on, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm happy because I have one more day left of class.
I thought you were done with summer session.
No. I could have been done, but my professor decided to give us one extra day of class. My other professor, we finished today. So
you trying to hurry up and finish your degree or something?
I mean, yeah, I have to go to grad school. So.
Okay. All right. Well, shoot, you're on the right track if you're taking summer sessions. So, you know, tonight, like I said before, you know, I told everybody we're going to talk about domestic violence on both sides of the coin. But also, not only the physical abuse, we'll talk about the mental abuse that go on as well. Because, you know, verbal abuse is, you know, definitely can affect the psyche of a man and a woman who's being abused in that manner. So, you know, Ms. Gabriella, have you known anybody that's been, you know, abused either mentally by a guy, or, you know, the guy's been, you know, abused by the woman?
I actually did. She wasn't really a close friend, but it was someone that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that I used to interact with in church.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really being physically abused so much as being emotionally abused by her husband. He would say little things like, if she was eating something, he would say, oh, you don't need to eat that. You're already fat enough. And he would say things like, oh, you're disgusting, and I don't want to have sex with you anymore. Like, I'm no longer attracted to you. I'm only staying around for the kids. And he would say things like that all the time. And sometimes he wouldn't even just do it in private. Sometimes he would say things like that to her in public, too.
You know, that's fine when people do stuff like that. There's enough they're seeing in the house. And then you go in front of strange people, and you're going to just straight up disrespect your lady or your wife, you know, like that. That's pretty bad. And everybody turn around looking, you know, like, dog, man, he kind of talking down this chick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad part about it, you know, you're looking at it like, you going to put up with that? You know, but a lot of times they just put their head down and take it, and, you know, they disagree with it. And I'm like, man, there's no way I'm going to sit there and let, you know, just somebody talk down to me like that in public. I say, I'll let you get a pass in private. I say, but in public? Oh, no, you're not going to embarrass me like that. I mean, because that's just not right. I mean, what is it that he's doing that's preventing you from just saying, forget it, I'm out? You know, you're not, I mean, somebody can treat me better than that. But hold on, let's see, there's one call on the line. Let's see here. Area code 850, you on the show.
Hey, what's going on, Advise? Hey, this is Martin Mark.
How you doing, brother?
All right, I'm doing good. You know, I like the topic of the show. I came to chime in on the topic also. Because I was in the situation that, I mean, I was in the situation also, you know, with my mother, my kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was a church-going woman and everything, you know. And we was getting together, you know. I thought she was good and everything. But when she get, attitude, whatever, even mad with me, we don't agree. She wanna pick up something and throw stuff at me, and so I'm defending myself. And when I go to disarm her or take stuff away from her, oh, you touched me, you hit me, and she wanna call the police on me. I said, are you serious? Because I was in the army. I served, you know, 4 years in the army, so I know how to take people down. And also, I was a security guard when I came out of the army, so I know how to take people down when I, you know, hurt them, put it arms behind their back, you know, put a face in the ground. That's what I did a couple of times. You trying to hurt me, you trying to break my arm. I never tried to break her arm or anything like that. But, you know, I just trying to disarm her so I can get out the door or whatever. But she going to call the police on me, you know. I just walk away, drive in my car or whatever. They had police come to my apartment, you know, get my side. And I never went to jail behind them, but, you know, we're not together now. But I did at one time, you know, I stayed, I sticked around. You know, I had my own apartment. She had her own apartment. We still used to was sexual intimate.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're not anymore. I think we ain't been intimate for about a year now. But still, you know.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what from personal experience, man. Don't be knocking down your baby mama, bro. Cause you just starting up a hornet's nest. I'm just telling you, you ain't been a year. Keep it forever, because there's too many females out here you can fool with. Cause you know females ain't like us. You know us as men, we can just knock something down. That's the end of it. Them, they get all emotional. You know what I'm saying? They emotions tied to that, and she thinking, oh, maybe we can get back together and all this other stuff. And you're like, man, look, I ain't trying to get back together with you. I'm just trying to knock something down, you know, because it's just, for me, a ground where I've been. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so, but that's why that's a dangerous area to get in, because then sometimes the females get crazy, especially when your baby mama didn't get a man. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how it is. You know, Ms. Gabriella brought up a point a while back, and that kind of stuck with me. What she said, basically, when a woman have a kid, her stock goes down. Remember you said that, Ms. Gabriella?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so
they're looking for any kind of man. It doesn't matter a lot of the times because they get rejected so much.
Exactly. A lot of dudes don't want to deal with that. So she can't get a, you know, dude. She want to come, you know, hopefully hollering at you. You know what I'm saying? And like, so what's the first time that she ever, like, threw something at you, or, like the very, very first time she did it? Like, what was her reaction?
I was taken back by, this can't be real. And then she told me about, oh, yeah, me and my last boyfriend, we fought all the time. So I'm thinking she liked that type of man, but I wasn't into that. I mean, I always thought not to hit a woman, you know, stuff like that, you know. I'll defend myself, but I'm not going to just go up there and slap her in the mouth or nothing like that. Just, you know, but I was taken back by it, and then I stopped coming around so much, and I ain't called so much. Because at one time, I thought she was all, I was all into her. I'm basically, let me tell you, I had my eggs all in one basket, you know. But
yeah.
And I stopped even messing with other girls, you know, that I used to mess with. But I did have some other girls. I stopped calling them, so, you know, I put my eggs in that basket, which is a big mistake.
Yeah, you can't keep the starting five of females, and you got one you're telling you kind of with, because you just kind of putting yourself in trouble right there. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have a starting five. You got to tell them we all friends. We ain't nothing more. We ain't nothing less. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, women, they get their head turned up, especially, you know how someone play that game. I'm going to give him some, and then all of a sudden the next morning, we're in a relationship. I didn't say that. You saying that.
Yeah,
but for a woman, a lot of women don't understand that, though. Like, women really, a lot of women think that, okay, I had sex with him, now that means that he's supposed to like me more. And they don't understand that a man can sleep with a woman for years and still not have any feelings for her.
That's true, because for us, most of the time, it's more so physical. Now, the only way a man gets more emotional with it is really with a woman that he loves. You know what I'm saying? And that's when it means something to them. But if it's just like just some chick, it's like whatever, man. I mean, it is what it is. Area code 925, you're on the show.
What up, man?
Jay Miller speaks out here. What's cracking with you?
Oh, what's up, bro?
What's cracking with you, man? I just want to end up, you know, thought I'd go ahead and call you. Huh? Go ahead.
I say it's all right. Go ahead on, bro.
No, I just thought I'd go ahead and, calling to the show. I don't know exactly where y'all at as far as, you know, talking about, you know, the domestic violence thing, but, you know, go ahead and fill me in. That way I can go ahead and, you know,
the way my show works, man, you just jump in and put your two cents in, and we'll wrap around that. How about that?
Okay, well, this is how I feel. You know, I feel pretty much a lot of what you say is true, you know what I mean? When it comes down to the domestic violence, I feel that a lot of times it's always the men getting kind of more vilified for it, but at the exact same time, like you said, there's a lot of guys out there that's getting hands and feet put up on them every day, you know? And a lot of, how I sit there and say it, a lot of the times you know, in American society, it's just like the man is more vilified for it. And it's like if a woman does it, it's okay. But if a man does it, then it's wrong. And I, you know, I honestly feel like this. I feel like in a relationship, everybody should keep their hands to themselves. But at the exact same time, I feel like everybody has a right to defend themselves, you know. Now, I'm not saying, like, for a man to go ahead and beat that mess up out of a woman, you know what I mean, because he's trying to hit him or whatever, but I do believe that, you know, you have the right to grab a woman and try to restrain him down or do whatever you can to stop the situation. Now, if you're in a situation, too, you know, if you're in a situation where you have a – I'm just speaking for the guys here. You know, if you have a woman that's whooping on you like that, then the best thing to do is to leave that woman because – or call the police, you know what I mean? Because once they call the police – you know what I mean? You might be in jail. So if they like trying to attack you with weapons or whatnot, the best thing to do, get up out of the situation, call the police, you know what I mean, and let them handle it. That way you don't get yourself caught up in, you know, going to jail or whatnot. Because you know how it is, man. I mean, it's like a double-sided thing. Just like, remember that the MTV show where, you know, they had the, like, the pregnancy show? Remember that, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're pregnant?
Yeah, something like that. And you know how they had the one girl, she's slapping up on dude. You know what I mean? And they had this on national TV, you know, you slapping up on dude all the time.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about Teen Mom. I even seen that episode. Yeah, what's
exactly,
that chick's name? Amber. Amber, that was her name.
Yeah,
she would be.
I can't think of what her name was, but.
Yeah, Amber.
Go ahead, man, my bad.
I've seen that episode.
Yeah, it's like this girl always, like, doing this dude wrong, and they sitting up there recording it like it was, you know, but I'm guaranteeing you the minute that dude turned around and slapped his ass up at that girl, then they're going to probably cut the camera off and try to put him in handcuffs or whatever. So it just kind of shows you, you know, the double standard when it comes down to, you know, when men do it and then when, you know, when men do it from what women do it, you know? So, I mean, I think, you know, the best – go ahead. Sorry about that, bro. Go ahead.
No. I'm listening to you, man. But it is a double standard. It really is. What's
exactly,
that noise?
Man? I don't sound like somebody's phone or vibrating. Huh?
Yeah, sound. Yeah,
hey,
it is.
Someone's phone going on.
Oh, it's Miss Gabriella's phone. Okay.
No, my phone's in another room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I got you. Yeah. Oh, it's yours. Okay. Yeah, you sound like a beat.
Go ahead. Sorry about that, man. Go ahead.
But you know, the thing is, you know, a lot of times, the first time a female even just get in your space like that, I mean, in an aggressive manner, you know, in my opinion, I think you just need to walk away from the situation because the thing is, if you don't have no respect, if the chick don't respect you, then what else is next? There's no telling what she's going to
say.
There's no telling what she's going to do. It's all about respect.
Exactly.
Same thing with a woman, with a man. I mean, the first time a man jump up in your face, I mean, for nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, they got some dude that'll slap a chick in the mouth just for asking them, like, where they been.
Exactly. You know, you got some jealous dudes like that, man, that, you know, slapping women up just, you know, for them looking up at another dude, you know what I mean, right there, you know, getting their feelings hurt, you know. And I feel like, you know, if you're a woman and, you're dealing with that type of issue, you don't have to deal with that also. But you got some women, they complain about it, but then it's like you go right back to the same dude, you know what I mean, who've been slapping you up for how long, you know what I mean? And it's just like, come on now. It's like, do what you can to avoid the situation. You know what I mean, man?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you just never know how a female going to pop off on you either. You know, it's like some women, you know, you would think they one way, then you get to meet them, and then they turn into something totally different, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got, you know what I mean? Growing up around the stuff that I grew up around, you know, I didn't have family members and been in situations, you know. It ain't, you know, like I'll put it like this, man. You definitely got to learn to, you know, to get to know who you with, man, because I feel like this, you know, you got some chicks, you know, they lie and tell family members, you know what I mean, that you done did something to them. You ain't did nothing to them, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, you got 10 of her brothers at your front door still talking about what they going to do to you. You know, it's like you got to watch out who you with, you know what I mean? It's just like you talk about, you know, you talk about the hood rat behavior, you know, the thugs and all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? It's like, you got a lot of people that, you know, a lot of black men and black women, you know, they complain about this kind of stuff, you know what I mean? But then they constantly, like I said in my videos before, they constantly go back and date these same type of people, but then turn around and complain about it. So I'm like, you know what, if you don't continually to date the exact same type of people, then what is you complaining for? You know what I mean?
that's you know, some people, you got to have an attitude, you know, if you like it, I love it. You know what I'm saying? What else, you know, what else could you do? I mean, it's like, it's nothing, you know, if they like that, if they like getting beat up, it's nothing you could do for them until they wise up in their head one day, or maybe be in the hospital fighting for their life to realize, dog, maybe I shouldn't be involved with somebody that's going to beat me down like that. That, you know, love doesn't supposed to hurt you like that.
Exactly. I like how you brought that up, talking about love isn't supposed to hurt. Because I had a friend who was constantly being cheated on. And mm-hmm. I think she's still with this guy to this day. They've been together for, I think, about 2 or 3 years now. And he has cheated on her so many times. And he's disrespected her. He's dogged her out. He's been driving around in the car that she helped him buy, spending money that she helped him earn. Because she filled out his job applications and everything else and sent him in. And was, I think she even made the phone call to get him hired. But I think that a lot of, there's some women that really, I think that it might be a self-esteem problem or something, where they feel that if a relationship doesn't have drama and they're not always crying, then it's not exciting and it's boring. Sometimes I really do think that some people like being in abusive relationships.
Some people do, because they think that's normal. They think that's okay. And if they get with somebody who don't slap them in the face, they're like, wait a minute, that something ain't right with this situation. You know what I'm saying? Well, give me a second. Erico 757, you on the show.
Good afternoon.
All right, Miss Barbara, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it's crazy women to put up with that, or men to put up with that, you know?
Yeah, it is. But you know, from the outside looking in, you know, it's easy to say. But when you get involved with some situations, you like the brother said earlier. You know, the first time it happens, you're taken aback by it. Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Especially when you never seen them do
that. A lot of it's from childhood too. They used to it from mama or daddy or both of them. They used to it, and that's all they know. See, it's a cycle. It come from the childhood.
Oh, let's see. Gotta figure out where that noise is coming from. Hold on, give me a second. What actually? Okay, I now know who it is.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Jay Miller, you had some background noise, brother.
Oh, my bad, bro. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know I was still on. I thought I was wrong.
No. I don't mute people like that. The only time I start muting somebody unless they got too much background noise. Other than that, no, that's a hangout spot.
Oh, okay. My bad, bro.
Yeah, what's y'all opinion on that about the childhood, the way they was raised? And see, that's all they know, and they think that's love and normal because it came from mama and daddy used to do that. So, you know, they keep it going into adulthood. See, that's all they know.
Well, a lot of studies say that, you know, children that grew up in the, you know, watching the parents do it, they end up doing it because it's just normal for them.
Yeah, I started that with my child till the neighbor spoke on that and stopped me, because I grew up in an abusive childhood from my adopted mother, and I started doing that to my child, abusing her. When I would whip her, I would get carried away with it. When I would discipline her, and a neighbor spoke on it, thank the God, and it broke me and stopped that cycle.
Can I ask you, if you don't mind me, how old you are, Miss?
I'm 43 right now.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you come from kind of the era where you know, where my parents is older, but I think like my parents, you know, they grew up in a, or I would say on my mom's side, she grew up in a, you know, abusive. Her mother and father were, you know, alcoholics, and they used to fight a lot and stuff like that. So I know my mom was a little bit kind of aggressive too. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure if I show you probably know what I'm talking about, you know. Like, our parents used to pop us up, you know what I mean? I don't know how your parents was, but I know how my mom was. She used to get down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that had to do with the way she was raised and a lot of the things that she was around too, you know what I mean? And later on in life, I had to tell her, you know what I mean, that I thought she was wrong about some of the ways that she used to get down and whip us, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And she agreed with it, but I do definitely think that a lot of it has to do with what you was raised around and things like that, you know, your environment.
I'm going to tell you where ass came from. Ass came from, she lost a good thing in her life, my adopted mother. She lost a lieutenant Navy man. See, she lost the status, and she lost all the benefits, so she took it out on her two adopted daughters.
That sounds about right.
Wow.
She turned the alcohol to self-medicate, see. But that's what ran him away because she was turned into an alcoholic and partying. When he come home from off out of the sea, she was running the streets and partying and drunk, and he got tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to reap the benefits. We had to catch hell behind all the turmoil. We caught it. That's why my sister today is strung out on crack cocaine because of our childhood.
I want to say a little bit about that because I guess I'm the opposite of it. Because my mom and dad, they was married and young, but when my dad, I guess he got drunk, he used to beat up on my mom, and I used to see that. They got divorced when I was like 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with my mom. So my mom used to tell me don't hit girls. So when I grew up, I wanted to be the opposite of my dad. So I never hit a woman, but I think I was like in eighth grade, I got beat up by one girl because I was not supposed to hit her back. I don't care. So my mom told me, I wouldn't even defend myself. But now I know better, you know, one hit me on the ass back. But, you know, but I don't go around hitting women or beating up on women. Even if I'm mad with her, I will leave. So I don't continue that.
That's right. Breaking cycles.
I broke the cycle.
Uh-huh. You can break them. They can be broke.
Right.
That's definitely true. I'm living proof of that right there.
That's right.
Yeah, you definitely can break any kind of cycle or bad habit or whatever you got going on. It's going to just take, you know, you trying a little harder since you grew up like that. You know, it's going to definitely be some hard work. But, you know, the thing is, like I remember the first time that happened to me, too. You know, the brother was talking about it. And when I was with my, you know, son's mother, you know, we had got into it. And, you know, she got mad at what I said, so she hauls off and punches me in the arm. And I looked at her, I was like, you know, it didn't faze me, but I'm like, I'm looking at her like, what's wrong with you?
You done lost your mind.
Yeah, yeah, like that. And I was like, the thing is, you know, I could have hurt her. I mean, it's not that I was so afraid of her or something, but, you know, she just hauls off and hit me. And at first, I'm taking the back bad. I say, well, okay, maybe I got it a little bit because I know how I am with my mouth. You know, I don't really show it on YouTube, but I got a mouth. I can get at you and make you pissed off. I just don't do that on YouTube. Like, I grew up in a time period that you can just roast somebody. We grew up on roasting people.
Exactly.
I just never done it on YouTube. I've never done it on YouTube not one time. You know, I was almost close to doing it. But I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. You know, because they had this dude who was trying to mess with me about a video I made. And I put a post up on my Facebook. So, I mean, this dude won't, you know, run off at the mouth. I say, should I say something? And everybody said, nah, I'll leave it alone. So I said, all right, I'll leave it alone. You know, I didn't say nothing to the guy. It would have been kind of easy to roast this guy. But, you know, but anyway, it's, you know, because like I said, I can't keep dealing with the same issues or who the same people. Things get boring to me. I got to have something new. You know what I'm saying? But it's like this. You know, what you about to say, bro?
No, I was about to say I agree with you, man. It do get kind of, you have to, you know, dealing with the same issues, and I honestly believe that you know, like what you're doing, man, is really good. You know what I mean? And I appreciate the fact, you know, the topic and things that you talk about because it needs to be said. But you know, in my own personal opinion, it's unfortunate, man. But you got, you know, I'm talking about black people in general. You know, it's unfortunate that you got so many out there that just don't want to listen. They don't want to hear the truth, or they don't want to, you know, hear anybody talk about change. You know what I'm saying, man? And I think that's just messed up when you got somebody out there trying to put a positivity out there. Go ahead. Sorry about that. Go ahead, man.
It's easy. It's so easy, man, to get into, like, and be honest, there's a lot of money to be made into the negativity. I ain't going to lie. There's a lot of money to be made in it. You know, I can literally prove it. Like I said, I can, like, oh, yes, I got that Ratchet Video Weekly channel, but I haven't went hardcore Ratchet on that channel. I haven't. I know where to get the videos from to get hardcore Ratchet, and I can make a lot of money off the channel, but I still kind of tone it down a little bit. I ain't went hardcore on it. I just haven't, because even though people like it, you know, and whatever, and they look forward to it, I say, well, I'm going to keep a limit on it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But so it's a lot of money to be made into that. If, you know, even some of the news stories I may put up, you know, I have to choose what news stories I'm put up for the simple fact of people going to watch it. You know, but then when I put up the video, which I'm actually very happy about this. I put up the video about the Black Wall Street, and I was very happy about the response of that. because I was very leery to do it, because a lot of people don't want to learn about history. They don't want to know nothing. If it ain't about fighting and twerking.
If it's not fighting, twerking, and having sex, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Haven't I not said that before?
Many views, it doesn't mean that it might, like, that might touch just one person. And if it does, then you know you've done something for the world.
Yeah. And the thing is, we got to, you know, so I'm thinking, I say, well, I have to have a balanced approach. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I talk about the ratchet stuff, though. I ain't got a problem talking about it. It's funny to me, some of it. But also, it's like, okay, at the end of the day, what are you doing? What are you actually putting out there at the end of the day? Are you trying to put something out there? Like, and even though I talk about it, I try to put something in my video where I'm trying to actually tell you about a situation or saying, look at what they're doing. Try not to do that. You know, that's why I don't berate the women. I don't berate the women, you know, and I don't call them all kind of names like call, you know what I'm saying? I try not to do that because I just want to talk about the behavior, not the woman. You know, and you know, that's why when they say, you know, they talk about this ratchetness and all this other stuff or domestic violence or whatever, it's a society problem. It's not a one people group problem.
Exactly.
Like I stated, you know, one time I stated, you know, I think of that Ratchet Video Weekly 29. You know, and the reason why I did that one is because a lot of sisters kept sending me messages about, you know, I mean, it's been a while. Well, you know, white women do it, and white women, say, I know they do it. So I say, forget it. I'm a dedicated show to white women. Forget it. So I did that one, and I got messages about that. Oh, I appreciate it. You know, did you actually show both sides? And I'm like, I always show both sides. I say, but nobody looks.
But you know, when you put videos out, though, you know, it's a catch-22 situation. It's like, dang if you do, dang if you don't. Somebody gonna have something to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, you
can't
lose everybody.
That's true. Somebody got always. But half the time, what people don't get with the situation when it comes to those kind of videos, it's not guys that send me that stuff. It's not. It's women. It's women. I can tell you 10 times out of 10, it's women. It's rare if a guy say, man, look how this chick doing when she's twerking. Hey, I never get messages from dude, but it's like that feet. I put up that video on my Bachelor Throwbacks channel. Did you see that one where the chick was twerking on an American flag?
No, I didn't see that one, man.
No, it's on my Bachelor Throwbacks channel. Well, anyway, Ms. Barbara, did you see it?
Yeah, I seen it.
Okay, well, it was a woman that sent me that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, because she even gave me the girl's Instagram and everything. She said, it's on Instagram. Go look at it and get the video. Check it out. I was like, well, forget it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? So it's actually more women that were disgusted with that stuff, and they want you to say something about it more than the dudes.
Yeah.
I think to a certain extent, I think putting out some of that material, you know, when you do it in a balanced way, it makes I think it helps make black people aware, because that's what you're trying to do, I'm pretty sure. You're trying to make people aware of what's going on, you know what I mean? And trying to get people to move.
Yeah, society in general. You know, I say society in general.
Yeah.
True. Because they got everybody that's doing that stuff, and I don't want to throw it all on a black woman and just a black woman's
and
doing
you know
it.
What?
That's
I totally agree. I totally agree with you, man. That's definitely true. Because, you know, when you get on YouTube, all you got to do is type in white girl, you're going to see a bunch of twerking videos. You know what I mean? It's just like it's become an epidemic with everybody almost. You know what I mean?
Yep. You ain't lying about that. And what black women don't realize, and white girls learn that twerking so good, they about to lose out on that because the white girl is just about got it, and she gonna trademark it, and she gonna make all kind of money off of it. Black women gonna be pissed off.
That's what happened with rock music, so.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They
just
take it, flip
they've been
it,
doing
and
that
make
to
money
us.
Off of it.
They've been doing that to us ever since we got here. They learn our stuff and make money off of it.
And we black folks are dumb.
We don't do that.
And you know what, man? I'm glad that you brought that up, man.
Twerk videos, or these little twerk tutorials. Now everybody in the world can learn how to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're gonna. And what they're gonna do is they're gonna put. They're gonna get AdSense on their channels. They're gonna start making money. But little Tam Quisha and her friends are gonna be sitting there making twerk videos for free, getting hundreds of thousands of views, and not making any money. But you'll see another girl, a white girl, or Asian girl, Latino, whatever. They'll be smart and put ads on the video at least, so they can at least make maybe $50 off of it or something.
I promise y'all. I did a test. I put up two twerking videos as a test on the Ratchet Video Weekly channel, just as a test. And the views that came off of that was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I put one up.
Go ahead.
What? No, it's like,
no,
one of the people, like Facebook, they got Facebook pages dedicated to it. So it's not like you got to go on YouTube looking for it. And the key is with YouTube, you got to watch how much, you know, what they're actually wearing when they do it. And you put the junk up, and you just sit back and not do a doggone thing, and you'll be killing them on AdSense or with twerking videos. Killing them. That's why Twerk Team is doing all the stuff they're doing. I mean, it's crazy.
Where did the Twerk Team come from anyways?
Do what?
I said, where did them girls come from anyways? I don't watch their videos like that, but I know exactly who you're talking about. You know, like, where do they come from all of a sudden? They just got a name for you.
They come from out the project.
Right. That's why they came from the project.
They bred in the projects.
Right.
You know, when it comes down to... Go ahead. Talk about that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but, well, I'm here in Florida, and I grew up in Florida, like in Central and South Florida. Twerking, we used to call it booty shaking back then, you know, with the whole Luther Campbell,
yeah.
Two Live Crew and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
I know that back in the
90s. Booty shaking way back, like, in the late 80s and early 90s. So, to me, I don't know what's coming out. They call it twerking now, but back then it was just booty shaking to us, and we used to do it back then.
Well, but
in the
see,
club,
back then,
you know, like
I know what you're talking about. Back then, they weren't doing what they're doing with it now, though. What they're doing with it now looks like strippers. They weren't doing it like that back
right.
then. They were short shorts, but
I
you
agree.
Pulling up their shorts in between the crack of their behind and twerking,
right,
and they have no problem doing that. That's what they do.
Yeah, so
you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
nothing new to me.
This is what I think. I mean, I don't know how y'all feel about, you know, how y'all guys feel about twerking. Okay, I feel like, you know what, if you with somebody, you know what I mean, if you want to twerk behind closed doors for that person, then go ahead, I guess. You know what I mean? But, like, when they up on YouTube like that, people got to understand that a lot of these are people's daughters, you know. Some of these girls ain't even of age up on here, you know what I mean? So it's like, remember that guy, he got mad and whipped his kids, and it was like a big old uproar and everything all behind it. It's like, well, man, I mean, come on now. Nobody wants their daughters up on, you know, like national, like, big, you know, what is it, like on the internet like that where everybody can sit there and see it, you know. If they come back to them, they're going to be like, man, your daughter was shaking butt up on the internet. And I'm pretty sure that don't make any father that care about his daughter get pretty pissed off about it, you know what I mean? I don't know what you guys think about it.
No, Ms. Gabriella, what you think about it, Ms. Gabriella?
I honestly think the thing is, I don't really have an issue with twerking if it's a part of a dance routine, because I've seen some girls do twerk and it wasn't even that bad because they were fully dressed and they actually had a dance routine with it. It wasn't just them just showing them shaking their butt. They had little arm movements in it and they were doing all kind of extra stuff. So it wasn't just the whole focus of the video was not them bent over half naked on YouTube for nothing. Just for some more thirsty comments. But that's just my view on it. But I honestly do think that twerking is not something. The way that they do it now is something that should be in the bedroom for your man. So that's something that belongs in a strip club or porn. I don't think that the twerking that girls do, some of these girls are 14 years old. It might as well be child porn. I think, honestly, YouTube has become a pedophile stream.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the stuff they put
But it's crazy.
I mean,
but it's crazy those
don't
videos
have to go to
the safe.
Playgrounds anymore. You don't have to go to the playgrounds and stare at children. They can go on YouTube, type in twerk videos and see little 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and babies even making twerk videos.
Yeah, and they think that's funny. They think that's so funny making those kind of videos, and that's why these guys don't respect them, and that's why these guys will slap them in the mouth when they get out of hand, because when you start off with a man that you don't even respect yourself, I mean, if you twerking, why would a dude respect you? I mean, let's just keep it real. Why would he? There's no incentive
there.
To respect you. There's no incentive. I mean, come on, why are you going to respect the twerking chick?
That's true.
There's no reason to. There's no reason to. I'm not going to wife up the twerking chick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she could just be on the team. That's it. But she ain't going to be, like, no chick that I'm going to say, oh, this is going to be the missus. And these women don't realize that at all. you know, and like I made a comment about recently about tattooing, and I'll say, well, women, they got too many tattoos. I didn't say tattoos in general. This one chick wrote me, it's like, well, what's wrong with women with tattoos? I say, well, certain tattoos are okay. I say, like, if they get them on the ankle, that's cool. I say, they on their back or something. Even if their arm is not visible, they can cover it up in the workplace. You know what I'm saying? I say, that's cool. I said, but if you got tattoos all on your neck, you tattooing all your breast stuff, you tattooing just everybody see all your tattoos, you look like a hoe.
And yeah, a lot of times I agree with you. I think they take it a little too far, you know what I mean? A little too far with the tattoos. It's like you don't need to be, you know, tatted up like you some in some kind of prison gang or something like that. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's a way to be, it's a way to, about doing it. And, you know, when it's, there's a way about how to say, basically, you know what I mean? It's okay, like, in my opinion, to have a one or two, if you got one or two, but don't go too far with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't, like I said, me personally, I don't have no tattoo. That's not my thing. It never was my thing, you know, but I mean, yeah, I've dated women with tattoos, you know, but they've only had like one, you know, maybe two or whatever. You know, but hold on, let me take another call here. Let's see what we got here. Erico 402, you on the show.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm just listening for right now.
Okay, cool. So, you know, like I said, a lot of these dudes don't realize, and well, I'm sorry, these women too, that the way you present yourself is the way a man's going to actually, you know, treat you and have respect for you too. And, you know, they got some dudes that I've known that sit up there and slap a female in the mouth in a minute, but some females they won't even try that with because they know that I got to respect this particular woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to pull that kind of stunt, you know, with her.
But you end up attracting, especially the way that these women present themselves these days, I'm not surprised that they end up attracting little roughnecks and thugs. Because women will walk around with tattoos all over their neck and their chest and all on their arms. And they'll walk around with their ass out and chest almost about to fall out of their shirt. And then they're surprised when a man will sit there and treat them like a dog and disrespect them and talk to them any old kind of way. But it's like, if you don't respect yourself enough to be a classy woman, you're going to end up attracting an abusive man. And I'm not saying that it's okay for a man to treat you that kind of way, but if you present yourself in that negative light, people are going to, I mean, you're not going to really attract a good man who's going to really want to take care of you.
Nope. And then a lot of old school pimps who used to say that, you know, when they scout out females to turn out, they usually look for three or more tattoos. So they know that's a sign of rebellion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of old school pimps will say that. It's easy to turn out chicks that got too many tattoos. Because they're already against society and against the grain as it is.
Yeah, because I was thinking of the whole Dave Chappelle joke when he walked into him later and called later a hoe. So why you call me a hoe? Because you got on the whole uniform. I see a police officer with a police officer. I'm going to call him a police officer, but you got to call him the uniform of a hoe. So I'm going to call you a hoe. I don't know if y'all remember that Dave Chappelle when he said that.
Oh, yeah, everybody remembers that.
For some reason, the only thing that Dave Chappelle popping up in my head was him and Wayne Brady. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was funny, too.
Wayne Brady. I didn't think Wayne Brady had it in him to act like that.
Me neither.
Because at first, you know, I thought he was the blackest white guy in Hollywood. He surprised everybody when he did that, though.
Right. Yeah, a lot of props.
Oh, yeah, he did. But, you know, like I say, man, a lot of these, you know, females, you know, don't realize, you know, just the way they present themselves. And see, what's so bad is that those females is the one that are actually, you know, pull a lot of dudes. And then you have the chicks that's decent. They got to kind of lower their standards in the way they dress and start being more hoish just to get dudes' attention, too. Because these dudes these days are so programmed to see, you know, TNA. That's what they're programmed to, because these chicks show it. And if you tell these chicks, hey, you know, why don't you respect yourself? They'll cuss you out. You're wrong for telling them to respect themselves.
Right.
I've had females tell me, you know, well, what's so wrong with twerking? What's wrong with this and that? Yeah, you just mad because you can't get a chick that...
You're a misogynist.
Yeah, you're a misogynist. And I say, what? I say, my thing...
You know what that twerking stuff look like when they throwing their backs out and throwing their asses. Look like a dog in heat.
That's what it's like.
That's what it look like. Look like a dog in heat.
What kind of response they expect out of a man doing that? I mean, come on, that dance is sexual in nature. No guy gonna look at the twerking chick and say, "Wow, I would like to marry her." They gonna say, "No, I want to bend her over." I want to bend her over and keep. That's what I want to do.
Hey, that's true though, bro. Hey, that's definitely true right there, man.
It's so bad. I mean, it's so bad. And I don't see how dudes do this. It's so bad. I've read in the comment section of YouTube and different websites that dudes will sit there and go and get their lotion and be Mr. Jackie.
Hey, you're not lying about that. I've seen comments too, bro.
I say, man, y'all using Miss Righty for you know, your pleasure on YouTube? I say, man. I say, how can y'all
get off on anything?
The amount of porn videos they got on YouTube, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they walk around with a little. I mean, I saw this one girl. She was only wearing. It was like a string bikini, like not even whatever that. I don't know what it was called. Not a string bikini, but it was like one of those little swimsuits. It was one of those swimsuits that was just like made of like one little line of fabric, just enough to cover up like a little bit. But she might as well have been naked. I forgot what it was called.
That sounds like a thong.
What's the name of the video?
I don't know. I'm not gonna share that.
Oh wow.
I
wonder myself how do YouTube let these videos get up there? Because I done seen some fools upload some porn myself and everything, and I went ahead and posted links so people could see what I was talking about, so they knew I wasn't lying. I'm like, how is it that YouTube, you know, you get somebody video, they can get somebody video flagged for no reason, you know what I mean? But then you got videos like this that's all over YouTube, and you know YouTube don't care to take them off or nothing. You know, I don't understand
YouTube
how they always.
YouTube's not
going to
take them off if nobody pushed the issue about getting them off. I mean, YouTube don't roam their site to look for videos. People actually got to flag it for them to look at it. I mean, they don't even have the kind of time to roam their own website to do that. They have too much. They have 24 hours worth of video uploaded to YouTube every hour. So how could they do it?
That's true. You got a good point there.
The server's too big for them to do it. So somebody got to flag it. And if a lot of people like twerking videos, why are they going to flag it? Why are you going to flag it? And the only reason a twerking video would get flagged, unless some female's hating on this female because she's big on twerking and she's making, and she got a bunch of views, and that's the only reason her videos will start getting flagged. Because the twerk team will start getting flagged. You know what I'm saying? And because these females are jealous of them. The bottom line, it's a jealousy. Ain't the dudes flagging them.
That's crazy, man.
I've never heard a dude say, "I'm flagging this twerk team video. It's disgusting." Erico 612, you on the show.
Hey, Viso, this is Emmanuel from Minneapolis. I just got on. I'm not sure what the topic is about tonight, so I can really.
The original topic is domestic violence, but we just kind of veered off talking about these females being disrespectful with the twerking and everything, and how these dudes don't respect them, and then that's why they sometimes don't mind being part of the slap a whole tribe. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's ironic that you mentioned that. There's a chicken shack not too far from where I stay, and this female, you know, obviously I was in line, she butted in front of me. And I know if I were to tell her that, I was going to get backlash. So I was like, excuse me, you know, just being real respectful. That's just how I am. I said, you got in front of me. You know, I'm not going to allow that. You got to get back in line. I didn't fucking budge you. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And then she pushed me. It's like, okay, I'm 5'10", you know, or 200, you know, lean. I can easily slap the dog shit out of her.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
You know, just go about my day. Because, I mean... Once you've been through it, you know, it's kind of sad and pathetic. You just become immune to it, you know. It's just like a little gnat at a barbecue. You just keep fucking with you, you know what I'm saying? You just, you just become immune to it. It's just, so it's just like, you know, it's pathetic, but it's like whatever, you know. So I trust me, I hear you.
Yeah, well, see, after I dealt with this situation with my ex, I said not a now another woman gonna even get in my space. I said, if you get in my space one time, I'm so serious about stuff like certain things I say zero tolerance to. I mean it when I mean zero tolerance. If this chick stepped to me in my face, like, what, if she even tell me the statement, what are you going to do? Nothing. I'm out. That's it.
Right.
I apologize. I like, no, apologize to the next dude you with. I ain't getting involved with you like that.
If only one way I would put my hands on a female, and I wouldn't even call it putting hands, because I mean we're men, obviously, because I'm an ex football player. If I hit a female, I mean, ain't no telling what's gonna happen to her. So if the ultimate insult is being spat on, like the bus driver, that's the ultimate insult. And the second to that is, you know, like a slap in the face. Now, I'll push the shit out of a female and let the wall do the, you know, let the wall do the damage, you know, but, right, you know, I'll push the shit out of a female, but, I mean, yeah, man, they only act in this fashion because they know they can call, pick up the phone and press those little three buttons and away you go, you know. All the laws are in their favor, you know, so, you know, this is why they act like this. We live in a real feminist society, you know, they're aware of it, you know, we're aware of it, at least a lot of us are, I won't say most of us, you know, and one thing about it is, you know, I don't care if she's a female or not, you know, a lot of men, you don't have to, you know, put hands on your female, but at least let your voice be heard, you know, a lot of us men, you know, and women especially, you know, especially for the women that say, oh, I'm not like that, you know, those females are, they're, you never hear enough of them talk, they're just silent, they're silent, they keep their mouth shut, oh, I'm not like, well, if y'all not like that, you know, if, you know, you hear black girls rock this stuff rock and all this, where's the support for, you know, where's the support for a whole bunch of women that don't condone these practices by all these hood rats?
I long to see an extremely vocal woman that gets real popular on YouTube about all this stuff. I would cheer her on 100%.
Exactly, bro. I feel the same.
It's like, why a woman won't do it? That's my thing. Why a woman won't do it? They send the videos to
exactly,
like,
bro,
to say something. Why don't you say something as a woman?
Because they don't want the backlash.
Right.
That's why.
Exactly, bro.
Because they know if they come out and say something, if they know they come out and make a video saying, women, respect yourself, stop twerking, stop getting tattoos all over yourself, stop getting, I don't know, what else, stop sleeping around like you have no self-control, all these things.
But,
her channel,
you know,
gets dragged down in a week.
Hey, can I ask you guys a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the women that do this in groups? You know, you got women jumping dudes nowadays, you know what I mean? One dude can't say nothing to them, or a group of them, they over there, you know, putting hands and feet up on dudes nowadays. Like, how do y'all feel about that? What is a guy supposed to do?
Who you asking that question to?
I'm just asking everybody. I know exactly what I do, but I'm just trying to see what y'all would do. You know what I mean? If you had a group of women trying to jump you, what would you do?
Nine times out of either it's going to be some hood rats or it's going to be them butch lesbians.
You know it's
going to
be some hood rats, but I'm saying, like,
what,
like...
No, it's going to be butch lesbians, too. Because them butch lesbians got a chip on their shoulder for men. Oh, yeah, a lot of them do. Not all, but a lot of them do.
That's true.
I guarantee if they try to jump me, we both men, ain't we? So we might as well go ahead and box. We men. You cut your hair like mine, you wearing cologne like me, we men.
Hey, bro, I don't know how I do. Huh?
No, I said, I don't know how it is where y'all from, but in Minneapolis, if three people are coming up onto you, towards you, trying to fight you, you can kill one of them. So,
oh, wow. I'm down with that.
I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do that. You know, that'd be taking it too far, you know, but.
Yeah. Nah, I'm be honest with you, man. I pepper spray them all down. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
I'm like,
pepper spray is
the
thing to do.
Well, no,
at least.
Pepper spray them all day. I don't care, bro. It's like, I'll be honest. I'm if that many women is running up on me, it is what it is. I'm only one man. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit there and just take no whipping like that from anybody just like that. You know what I mean? I think that you should, you know, do the best you can to, you know, like I said before, protect yourself. You know, and a lot of times, like dude was saying, you know, you ask somebody nicely nowadays, people don't even respond nicely back. They want to get up and try to talk about what they're going to do, rah, rah, all that kind of stuff. Mm. People ain't got no time for that kind of stuff no more.
Yeah.
Well,
you know?
I know what I do. We're here in Florida, you know, we got that stand your ground law, so, you know.
That don't apply to black people.
No.
What black person, give me five black people
right.
that use stand your ground law and got off.
None.
Well, right.
They locked that lady up, Marissa Alexander, who was in her own apartment. She got divorced, but she had a separation with her ex-husband, and he came over to beat her up, and she shot a warning shot up in the air in her garage, and she's in prison right now.
Yeah, for 20 years.
I think a lot of you guys down south, you guys got a lot more better, like, this, you know, self-defense laws, gun laws, way better than California do, you know what I mean? Because y'all can protect yourself outside your home. Like, you
no,
know,
you
in certain counties. Like
no, you can't.
Huh?
Texas has lax gun laws, but you cannot just shoot somebody if they're in your lawn. They have to cross the plane of your door to shoot them. Now, a partner of mine told me he had talked to HPD. And he said that the only way you can really shoot them in your lawn, you have to put up a no trespassing sign. If you put up a no trespassing sign and you ask them to leave and they're trying to get into your house, you can shoot them in the yard and not be charged. But if you don't have a no trespassing sign, then you shoot them in the yard. Then it's weird. But you come inside your house, that's open game.
Different
you
story.
Ask
that's how that's how it is in here. They have to be in your house. But y'all could get a concealed carry license, though, like, more easier than what we can over here, though. You know what I mean? It's very hard, especially in my area, to get a concealed carry license. You have to be, like, in Sacramento County. Now, I mean, it looks like Texas, y'all can just get them, like whatever. You know what I mean? Is that true?
Oh, yeah, Texas, that's cowboy country there. So, you know, those white boys, you know they're gonna want their guns. You know,
they believe in guns over here. That's why I wouldn't really want to be breaking into people's houses. Too much over here. Well, the only problem, people who don't have guns like they should, I say it's minority groups, and I think more black people need to get armed. I really think they do.
I've said the same thing, bro.
So, like, the situation in Chicago. We're talking about Chicago. If every black person in Chicago in them neighborhoods would get armed, and really get armed, two things would happen. It'll scare the police. They're, why are these black folks getting all these guns all of a sudden? What are they arming up for? And then black folks, you know, them thugs try to start shooting, they trading fire right back. They'll stop
let
all
me,
that.
Let me tell y'all something about Chicago, because I'm right here in the Midwest. What's happening, and it's only 6 hours away. What's happening in Chicago, and I'm sure a lot of you know, all of these things, you know, that are happening in the black community, it's done by design. We all know, for the most part, at least some of us do, that when you break the in order to break the black family, you know, you mess up the man, or you put the entire community in ruin. No jobs or nothing like that. You know what these officers are doing in Chicago? They have this turn in your gun day and stuff like that. These officers turn around and put these guns right back on the street,
I'm
just going to be a little
I don't know why black folks turn in
their
guns for anyway.
Yeah, they turn around and take these guns and put them right back on the street. Now, for each person because they know a lot of these guys, the drugs is big there. There's no jobs, is well, Chicago and what in New York City they got the like the largest black community. So there's no jobs. So what are most men going to go to? Drugs. So they sell the drugs. Now each time they go to prison because it's a cycle. This is all done by design. Every month, let's say somebody gets arrested and put in for a drug charge, because I'm getting to why they don't want the violence to stop in Chicago. Every time somebody gets arrested for a drug charge, so let's say somebody has a pound on them, this guy has to do 3 years now. Every month that person stays in prison, that's $30,000 off of that one prisoner. You think they want this to stop? They don't want it to stop.
It's the prison industrial complex, but it's not really their responsibility to stop it. It's black folks' responsibility to stop it.
What are you going to do when? What are we going to do? And I mentioned we because I'm not there, but it's still us. You know what are we going to do when there are no jobs around? I'm in the state of Minnesota. This is the number one state for not hiring all black people. Number one in the country. The same thing is happening in Chicago. The same thing is happening there. So there's a guy has kids. I mean, what is he supposed to do? He can't watch them and daddy, I'm hungry. He's gonna go out and hustle.
I'm sorry. That's not a good excuse for me because prior to all this, black men and women, if you go back in our history, we came off the slave plantation. We didn't have no jobs. We didn't have crap. They say, hey, you're free. Get out. You got to go find your own way now. They didn't get the slaves nothing.
Yep.
And the former slaves, men and women, didn't say, you know what? Let me go do some illegal stuff so I can get some money. I'm sorry. That's a cop out. Because our people have struggled and suffered a long time with no jobs. They got out there, they did agriculture work. They were farmers. They were laborers. They were cleaning houses. They were doing all this kind of stuff so they can make them some money. I'm sorry. It's other ways that you can make you some money without what good are you to
Let me say this real quick. What y'all talking about, I can definitely relate to this because, see, I understand where he's coming from, too, and I understand where both of y'all are coming from. He's saying, like, it's a cycle. Now, the cycle he's talking about is once you do get caught up in the system and you do get messed up as a black person, you know, they keep that on your record. So it prevents you from getting jobs or whatever. I know because I got a brother who lived that lifestyle, you know, for many years. A lot of my family members have, you know. But like you said, too, Vaisho, now there is ways out, man, because I got a brother who's a felon, man, who's lived that crazy street life for years, man. But he still managed to basically use that street knowledge he knew and to start his own little carpet cleaning business. And so that's what he does, you know. And then a lot of people, I got other, you know, brother-in-laws too, that's felons and whatnot, you know. There's construction. There's things out there, but it is hard, though. I will agree with him, though. I believe that it's very hard. Once you get a felon on your record, man, it's just like, man, it's very hard to get somebody to hire you. But I do believe that, yeah, there's a way out. You just got to make a way out, you know.
However,
it's not impossible because you can search jobs that will allow that hire felons.
Yeah, because they got a program called Felon Back to Work programs. Felon
Walmart,
Back to Work.
I mean, pay might not be great, but at least you can get something, and then maybe you can branch off and start your own business or something. I mean, there's always something out there. That's the thing. Talking about some, there's no jobs out there. Why don't you make your own job? You can always go out and start a carpet cleaning business, go get yourself a couple of them, or start a cleaning service, or do something.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something you can do. So there really is no excuse to say, oh, I can't find a job.
The thing what's wrong with us is black folks is, you know, like I said, we don't want to just man up. A lot of men don't want to man up. Like, I think about the end game. I say, okay, you getting this fast money. You can either catch a slug for it, or you can get locked up in that man's jail for 20 years. It doesn't pay off. I don't want to get no deal where, yeah, I can make $5,000 in an hour, but, you know, in this next hour, I can be going to jail for 20 years. That's stupid.
Exactly.
That's not logical.
It's not worth it at all because it's a lot of young men who go to jail that don't catch felonies yet. And you got, you know, and I'm going to speak for myself, you know what I mean? I'm going to sit there and, you know, just come out and say, I've been to jail. I ain't never been to prison. I don't have no felonies up on me. But I tell you this much, when I did get into a little trouble, there's OGs up in there that will tell you, man, that this lifestyle is not the lifestyle to live. Go out and get yourself together, go get your education, go take care of a family. And there's a lot of them that do tell you that, you know, but the problem is a lot of these young cats, they don't listen. You know what I mean? And a lot of these young cats, I believe, like you said, they need to man up and grow some balls. They don't want to, man. You know, they out having babies with every single woman they can. You know what I mean? They just don't want to take care of responsibility. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Tell me about it. I got a 17-year-old cousin with five kids. Come on. You know what I'm saying?
You're 17 right. with five kids, man.
17 with five kids, man. He started at, yeah. But the thing about it, he's 6 foot. He looked, ever since he was 14, looked like a big grown-ass man, 6'4". 270. So, I mean, that's definitely true.
Well, yeah, give me a second, bro. Air code 229, you on the show.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's Greg calling from Georgia, man. How y'all doing?
Oh, what's up, bro?
Doing good.
I'm pretty good,
what's
man.
On,
I'm
what's
I'm not
what's
sure.
On your mind?
I hadn't had a chance to get on Facebook or anything to see what the topic was for tonight, but I heard y'all discussing guns, and y'all were talking about the unemployment rate in the black community. Is that what y'all
were
talking about?
Well, the original topic was domestic violence, and we were just touching on that, talking about why that happens and all that, but also, you know, all these other topics can contribute to why people are angry, why people are frustrated, why they do things like that. What I'm saying? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of wanted to chime in a little bit about what the guy was saying about, like, he was talking about, like, how the OGs, a lot of times when, you know, you get locked up or something and the OGs will tell you, you know, don't live this life or whatnot. I agree. You do got some out there that's wise and that'll tell you, you know, that's not the road to go down and, you know, to straighten up. But too often, especially in our community, you know, it just seems like I think that's that part of the problem is we have too many of those guys, too many of those OGs, and not just the guys, but too many of these older women who are not, you know, who are sitting up there still doing these things, you know, they may not be necessarily doing these things, but they won't tell the youth not to do these things, you know.
Yep.
I agree.
I think that's it's like they pretty much giving them the pass to do this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Giving them the pass. They pushing them to it. Yeah, I just said
it. Well, a lot of times, really, your greatest example to people, even the younger people, is just to, you know, be successful at something and just, you know, teach them younger brothers and sisters how to do that. Because, you know, like, we have a lot of successful people in our community, but the biggest issue we have is we too selfish. We are way too selfish.
No, I agree with you, bro.
We do not, we had attitude, oh, I made it, to forget them Negroes. I made it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And that's not the way to be. I mean, like, if you know
mm-hmm.
anything, go ahead and help them out. I mean, you can't do it for them, you know what I'm saying? But just
mm-hmm.
tell them, if they're willing to learn, tell them. So they can do something for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why you want that man or that woman to be struggling like that if you got a little knowledge to tell them how to solve something or help something out in
yep.
their life? Or, you know, that's what I told
exactly.
I always had an attitude. I agree.
And see, what you were just saying, that's pretty much why I think, you know, we're so behind in a lot of areas, because when you look at other communities, you know, they have, you know, animosity among each other at times, but when push comes to shove, I mean, they work together. You know, when it's all said and done, they are on one accord. And we as black people, we can't seem to be that way. And I don't know why, but
well, it's logical reasons why. I mean, the other communities don't have the internal and outside forces trying to stop the unity. Also, like Phil, you say white
yeah.
people may be unified. But they don't have the internal, I'm trying to one-up the other one. And they also don't have
mm-hmm.
outside people trying to make sure they don't get together on anything either. Every
mm-hmm.
time we say something, Every time we start getting together, it makes, you know, really, let's be honest, the powers that be in white society nervous. They don't like that. They get scared of that. They don't want to vocalize.
I agree with that.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, what you guys are saying is definitely true. The biggest reason why they don't want, and I think the brother from Georgia, I'm going off of what you said, they don't want us to come together is because, like you said, you know, everybody has disputes within their race, this and that, but when it comes to us, you know, it's just barbaric. And like Vice said, people don't have, you know, a system that are designed against them to see them fail. And one thing with other races, though, they work together as a collective. They have a collective mindset, and that's
mm-hmm.
what they understand. And we don't understand that. And that is on a global scale. See, for a course of time, all over the world, you look at all over the world where African descendant people are, Brazil, America, the mm-hmm. islands, how do they identify? This person's Jamaican. This person's this Afro. This person is that. This person is. They do that on purpose because they conditioned us very well. The devil is great at his craft. They conditioned us very well to not accept our African identity, because if we come together as a collective on a global scale and do for ourselves, buy from each other, buy from one another, the next thing that we're going to do, we're going to go into our continent of Africa, take our resources that they say on TV, Africa is shit, but all these European countries will fold overnight if they weren't taking the resources off of the African continent. If we had that collective mindset, we'll be doing exactly what America does. Right?
I got a different opinion, brother. I got a different opinion. I agree with the unity aspect of it, but I'll be dog if I sit here and let's get together with all my people and walk away from this land called America. And I'm gonna tell you why. Just hear me out. Just hear me out. I'll be dog if my ancestors worked hard and built this nation, and we walk away from it and they enjoy it and all the hard work of my ancestors. Forget that. Black people got every right to every freedom of America because we built this country with our blood, sweat, and tears. And I'd be dog if you tell me to go back to Africa. Forget that.
No. I'm not saying you said it. Yeah.
I'm just saying they got some black people that got that mindset. We just need to leave America and go back to Africa. Let's keep it real. A lot of Africans sold our ancestors over here too. The white man that go in there and steal us all.
Well, you know. I want to add a little something to that, because when you look at like people like, for example, look at Marcus Garvey. You know, that was pretty much his his theory. He was saying, well, you know, not so much, you know, leave the United States because of white folks. He was just saying, you know, okay, let's leave, go back to, you know, Africa or wherever, and let's start our own successful community, you know, where we prosperous and you know, can start our own businesses and this and that, where we don't have to worry about, you know, white intervention or whoever intervention, you know. But, you know,
and
honestly, though, when I think about it, it sounds good, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, even if we would have went back over there, it would have been a lot of jealousy still coming from other races that would have tried to do something to prevent that. So, I mean, you know, now that we're here, you know.
It's like this, man. I just have to keep it real. I think black people are the salt of America. It gives them its seasonings. Because if you take away black folks out of America, what do you have left? Think about it. What do you have left?
I mean, if you take everybody.
Mm-hmm. You remove black people and black influence from America and say all black people went to Africa. What music would they listen to? What sports would they watch?
Hey, you know what, though? Hey, you know, you got a very good point. you got a very good point because there's a
who
lot
trend,
of things.
Who
you know
set
that.
The trends? Who set the trends of dressing? We set the trends of everything.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
why. That's why homosexuality is pushing so hard on the black male to accept it because they get the black male to accept homosexuality. That means everybody accepts it.
Exactly. And like you said, man, it's like no matter how racist, you know, some whites be acting towards us or whatnot, you know what I mean? A lot of things, you know, a lot of things that we do, they always borrow and stuff, you know? And it's like you know, I work around a lot of white folks, you know? I'm just going to keep it real, you know? When I go to work and, you know, and just day-to-day in general, you know? When I'm driving by some of these schools, you know, what do I see? I see a lot of them kids dressing. They want to be hood, this and that. You know, I was just talking to this other brother about it, you know. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny, you know, that their parents like to talk all kind of stuff about us, you know what I mean? But at the exact same time, their kid is trying to emulate something that comes from the hood. Why do they want to be from the hood or act like they're from the hood so bad? I don't freaking know, you know what I mean? But I agree with what you said there, Ben. You know, and just hold up real quick, real quick. I just now found out, too, like, you know, motorcycles, chopper motorcycles and whatnot. I was watching a whole, what is it, what they call the thing? Not biography, but, you know what I'm talking about, one of those TV shows, whatnot. Documentary, yeah, about this one black dude who basically used to build all these motorcycle bikes, even built the ones that they used in the movie Easy Rider, but he didn't even get I can't even get my words out right now. But basically, you know, he didn't get the, y'all know what I'm trying to say.
He didn't get no bread for it or water check.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I never even knew that. You know what I mean? And all I was doing was watching, you know, like black bikers up on YouTube and came across that. So I'm like, well, dang, man. I'm like, black folks have had a hand in a lot of type of stuff that they don't give us credit for.
I agree with you 100%. The thing about it is, you know, we as black people, especially as black men, you know, we have been the innovators of a lot of different trends, a lot of inventions. But you know, and in my lifetime, you know, I've observed white people closely, very closely, and they are. You know, I hate to say this, but I'm just going to keep it real. They are very notorious for taking others' ideas and putting their own little twist on them. I'm serious.
No, that's true. I agree with you on that one.
But at the same token, you know, you kind of have to blame us for not taking it to the next level all the time, you know?
No, you blame us for that. Our biggest problem is black people. We teach everybody our stuff. That's our problem.
Yeah, right.
You don't see Mexicans running around here trying to teach everybody Spanish, do you? But we show quite
quickly. We give our talents away.
We give it away, and they're like, "Sure, I'm about to monetize it now," and that's what they get a patent for and create a company. And there you go. He's like, "Dog, I just told him that maybe 2 months ago, and now he's making, you know, starting off 6 figures already."
Yeah. We let them observe us, and then, you know, they perfect our style or try to perfect our style, and then next thing you know, everybody looking at them like they created it.
Yep.
That's true.
That's black folks' fault. At the end of the day, I can't get mad at them for it. I'm not mad at them for it. They wasn't stupid.
And all the stuff we created, we don't embrace it.
We give away everything, and we too easily trust it. And we're too easily forgiven. And that's our problem. Our biggest problem. That's why we're in so much trouble all the time. Everybody used us like a $2 hole to get their movement going and everything. We take it every single time. Think about it. Recently, who the recent person that used us? The gays. The gays pimped us too. And they got their marriage thing. And when the Voting Rights Act thing got struck down, did the gays say, hey, wait a minute. That's my friends, the black people. We got to stand with them. Oh, no, the gays ain't care about you. But the gays want to say, oh, we understand your struggle. You know,
I noticed that a lot of groups will sit there and piggyback on the civil rights movement and then use black people for a little while and toss them to the side, like with yesterday's trash. And black people take time and again. They use us for feminism. They're using us. They use us for gay rights. I don't know what they're going to do with the next, but...
Immigration used it too. I mean, they were
immigration.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be your friend to get to the next level. Once they got it, they're like, forget you, black folks. And y'all fall for it. It's like black folks want to be accepted so bad. They're like the child that ate lunch by itself in school. And they just want a friend so bad. You just accept anybody. Don't look at their motives while they're talking to you or nothing. You just want to be their friend. Hopefully they can get a friend. And that's sad.
And the thing is, you know, I didn't have a lot of people, you know, just get at me even on, you know, YouTube and stuff, you know, thinking that, oh, well, you know, basically what you was basically saying. But I know for a fact, you know, I already know, no matter what I do. I was just talking to another YouTuber about this. You know what I mean? It's some white folks out there that ain't going to like me regardless. You know what I mean? So that's why, I feel like this. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not going to sit there. I know who to sit there and try to get along with and who not to, but I'm not going to sit there and kiss nobody's butt. Either you take me how I am, or just leave it alone. You know what I'm saying? Because
I know that's right.
Don't matter. You know what I mean? It don't matter what you do to some white folks. You know what I mean? You're going to be a nigga regardless. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know, it don't matter how tough you talk.
I'm frustrated too about it. Well, like extremely frustrating, and me doing these videos is something that I found very frustrating. You know, when I'm doing these videos talking about things in the black community or whatever, and I'm mostly talking to black folks. Of course, anybody can sit there and listen to it. But my thing I never understood is, like, why do they want to sit there and listen to every single word that we're saying? Like, when we're talking about twerking, we're talking about single parents in the black community. We say the black community, not the world at large. We may say the black community is singling on them, but yet they come in to listen. They come in to comment. They come in. It's like, I don't go sit up there listening to nobody talking about issues in the white community. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, because they think about that advice. They want to know our weaknesses. They want to know,
our weaknesses. It ain't secret what our weaknesses are. The fact of the matter is, I remember one time I made a video a long while ago, and I said that, like, why you want to listen to our stuff? And the first thing they come up with, they say, well, you know, it's not, I know some of it's not talking to us, but how they put it, you know, we are more, what's the word looking for? We express ourselves in ways that white YouTubers don't, and white YouTubers, they tell me all this stuff that basically white folks are boring. That's basically what they were saying. And I'm like, but still, like even if you're a racist, let's say you're a racist. Why you want to sit there and listen to black folks do? They'll sit there and they'll listen to every video that I put up on their hood rats of thugs, and then I switch it up on them, because I do better with my videos. I switch it up, and I go at a different angle, and you can tell who the racists are when I switch it up on them.
Exactly, bro. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. I can tell real quick. Nobody gets a pass with me. I don't care if you're black, white, male, female, gay, straight. If you're wrong, I'm going to talk about you.
But,
so long
but
as I'm talking bad about black folks, it's okay.
You make an excellent point, though, because I know, like, if I knew it was a race or a group of people that I didn't care for, I'm not going to be listening to their videos on what's going on in their community.
Right. Exactly. But they do that on YouTube all the time, though.
Mm-hmm.
They do that up on you.
Yeah, exactly. They do that. Like my thing is, like the Zimmerman thing. I post something by Trayvon Martin. That was like the bait I needed to see who's the real racist on my channel, who's the Zimmerman.
Oh man,
I love it. Sometimes I may post a video for bait. I know how to troll bait. You know, it's a certain time that you put up just to see, you know, who is who. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And once you see these, all before them screen names was just like, oh, man, this is a good video. You so right about this. When you talk about certain things like Zimmerman, you start seeing the same screen names, like the switching stuff up. All of a sudden, say, oh, I see who you are. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what they're going to say. I'm itching to see the comments when I post my video later about the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. I want to see the comments on that one.
If you see me post, I'm E Smooth 200 on there, so you're never gonna see nothing about me like that on there. So
no, I'm just saying, I meant that. You know, you get to a certain point, you need to start taking some responsibility. Like, yeah, it's fine to put out the videos about twerking and fighting and everything, but you got to start educating just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What's the end game? I mean, yeah, I could talk about hood rats and thugs all day, and there's money in that, but you can't throw at least one history video in there. Like, when I talk about Black Wall Street, I had a lot of people message me saying, man, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was a great video that you posted about Black Wall Street, Little Africa. Yeah, I like that video.
Yeah,
I gotta go check it out.
Never knew about that. That now they know about it. Okay, now look at the next video I'm about to post with about the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. They said they injected syphilis in these poor black men that thought they were just getting some free medical care. The United States government did this to them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, President Bill Clinton apologized for it. He did. But, you know, I didn't put this in a video, but man, I need to make a part two. Why they don't get a lawsuit? Why they don't get reparations for that? Those 400 black men's families.
Mm-hmm.
You injecting what we consider sexually transmitted disease in the people. This is clearly, and it was sad that you actually had a black woman and a black man working with the government to do this to black people.
Oh, yeah, they always use our own people to infiltrate the communities. That's how they get us, you know. And we do it to ourselves. At the end of the day, we can't blame nobody but ourselves, you know.
Everybody's looking out for their own best interest. Benedict Arnold, like we have. I mean, like I don't. You know, it's like most every other group. Just they not trusting of people they feel that's trying to do them wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like Jew, like all of a sudden going to the Nazis for food and going to the Nazis for medical treatment or something. They're gonna be like, I don't trust them Nazis. They killed my people. So what I'm gonna deal
and
with?
And like you said, man, it's like when you're making videos, certain type of videos, you get to figuring out who's who up on there, you know, and I agree with you on that because I've dealt with the exact same thing. This even having this conversation in general, the racist white folks, the ones that basically they only like it when you're talking about black people and black, you know, problems, this and that. But the minute you got something to say about them, oh, man, it's a different story. Then they want to get all and, you know, get all self-righteous and, you know, it all starts coming out. You know what I mean? This conversation right now of us trying to, you know, just talk about our issues of build each other or whatnot, they're going to be like, oh, man, you guys are racist. I can tell, you know, because the way you guys are talking or whatever, because they don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? And that's the one, and that's how you can tell who's who. You know what I mean? It's like you got a lot of these racist white trolls up there. I don't understand why they try to mess with so many. Why are they so interested in black people like that? It's like they have an obsession, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's like they just can't get enough of us. It's like they hate us, but they love us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's been a black people's problem ever since
they've
been
here. That's very true.
You know what I'm saying? But you're saying like, well, you were saying about the people with the videos and stuff like that. I know that you got a couple of responses. You have one that say, well, you know, I'm not like that. I've never owned a slave. I never did that. You got them, you know, and say, we all just need to, you know, get along and stop separating. But then at the same time, they don't speak against things that happen to black people. So how are you truly coalition-minded? You get what I'm saying? It's like this. We all know you get an advantage in certain areas of the country for sure, especially in the South. I mean, come on.
Exactly. It's called white privilege, and I've seen that happen right on my job. Go ahead, man.
But this is the thing. We are the only people group that are told we need to forget about our history. And, you know, the Jews aren't told to forget the Holocaust. If somebody told the Jews to forget the Holocaust, they'd be like, how dare you sit up there and tell them to forget the Holocaust? And they'll go off about you telling them to forget their pain. So why can't we remember the things that happened to us in this land called America, not Africa? I'm talking about here. And then when you tell them, oh, well, you know, it was the Africans that sold y'all to us, what that got to do with how you treated us when we got here?
That's like a cop out, you know what I mean?
You know, yeah, that'd be no different than, you know, I sell one of y'all a dog, y'all abuse it, y'all hurt it, y'all kill it, the cops arrest you, and what you go tell the judge in court? Oh, he sold me the dog. They ain't going to hear that.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of them, they try to make it like, you know what, oh, like basically what you're saying, oh, well, blacks did this work, so does that make it right? Man, you know what I mean? It's like, use common sense, you know what I mean? Now, you know, me personally, no, I don't think that, like I said before, I don't think that every white person should have to sit there and, you know, pay for something that happened in the past that they didn't have nothing to do with, you know what I mean? If you're not a racist person, then of course, you know, hey, it is what it is. But, you know, I personally, you know, like you sit there and say, like, I believe, you're like, sir, some reparations, yeah, but, like, you know, like I said before, I believe that our ancestors should have been owed, you know what I mean? I think, like, as far as black folks right now, I do think that we need to focus on what are we trying to do now, you know, what's going on now, you know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, a lot of this stuff is our fault, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of it is. You know, we're not taking care of our families. Like I said, we're not respecting each other, you know, male and female. You know, it's sad. For me, it's sad. It's sad to see, you know, some of the things that sisters are doing. Like, they say, when they say, oh, well, everybody doing it, I'm not focusing on everybody. I'm talking about we do it in our family.
We do, exactly, man.
You know, who's our aunts and who's our sisters and who's our, you know, cousins and all that. That's who you know I'm talking about. And you know, for even like you say, to go back to the main topic, for even for a woman to disrespect herself so much to let a man hit her and think that's okay, or to even date a man who's not reputable, which knows, you know, his reputation precede him of being a criminal, being a woman beater, or even the woman that beats a man herself because she's so used to being beat. That's all she knows how to communicate is with her hands. I mean, we have so many issues in our own community that we need to solve, and really, black people have enough money within their own community. With their $1 trillion buying power, we have enough money. It's not that black folks don't have money. I mean, people think black folks don't have money, but we do. We have $1 trillion
that we spend. Black folks spend it on the wrong type of stuff, man.
No, as soon as you get our money, 85% of it we put out. 85% of it we put out to people that don't look like us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to say the money that we make, it doesn't stay within our own community. Kind of like how you were saying, on the video, the Black Wall Street video. Like back then, when Black Wall Street was around, that money stayed within our community. Like what was it? Like a year or so before it even got out, and then like now. The money that we make now leaves our community within, you know, probably hours.
They say 6 hours.
You know, we keep. Yeah, we don't.
The average
is
6 hours.
So
black folks' hands are too hot. They can't hold on to money.
You know what they say about us? They say we're blind consumers, and in a lot of ways, you know, we are.
We slaves to fashion. That's one of the main things. We slaves to fashion.
I'm
sorry. Black people are possessed with vanity. They are.
Exactly,
from the male to the female. I mean, as a guy, you got to spend all kind of money on yourself just to get the attention of a sister. You really do. Because if you're not dressed a certain way, you're not driving a certain thing, a sister's not going to look twice at you. She'll say, oh, you lame.
Yep. But then a lot of times, though, bro, you know, a lot of times, man, a lot of these cats that got these rims and whatnot, you know, a lot of these fools, you know, I hate to say it, a lot of them live at home with their moms and dads, you know what I mean? Because, you know, an average Joe, man, they ain't got, you know, unless you have a super good job, you ain't got all that type of money to be throwing on your rims and you know, your cars and all that kind of stuff. When you're trying to keep a roof over your head, you got kids to feed and whatnot, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff comes second. But I noticed that, yeah, it's a lot of cats. Especially from the hood. They be thinking they doing big things. Y'all got me, you know, a Chevy on big rims or whatnot, man. I just seen fools. I don't know people that drove.
Hood, bro. It's not always dudes from the hood because they got, I've known dudes that actually make it, work hard, do good, but they still slaves to tricking because they got to have the big Escalade. They got to have the Escalade.
Yeah.
They got to have this. They got to have that instead of just being frugal for just a minute. Why don't you try to pay your house off, man? And then or something like
that. And a lot of these rich folks is very frugal and stuff. You know, I see it all the time. I be wanting to catch it up on my camera a lot of times. I see fools riding around Maseratis, Bentleys, all the time. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're in California. Like, I know, man, bro. I seen that when I went to L.A. I like, man, does everybody got a high-priced car and some rims? I mean, it tripped me out to see how many rims. You can see these people ain't rich. You can see it like, how you got a BMW on 22s? I'm looking at it. It's not no old BMW either. I'm just looking at it. I'm like, I say, you don't see that over here in Houston like that.
Well, not all. It's more like in the Bay Area where I'm at, you know, like in East Bay, it's more like a little richer white areas. I ain't going to sit there in front, you know what I mean? But a lot of those people, they're kind of frugal, though. You know, it's like you don't see them acting out as much. I mean, come on, man. You put a brother from the hood in a Lamborghini. Man, you know, you already know what he going to be. He going, oh, let me go back to the hood and show all these other cats. You know, they want to be stunting. And, you know, they don't know how to act normal, you know. But I see a lot of cats, man, they Ferraris, whatnot, they with their wife, they just chilling. They don't want to be, like, noticed that much. Of course, your car is going to be nice, so you're going to be noticed to a certain extent. But it's like black folks is chasing things that, how did they say? It's like you're chasing things that's not even attainable at times. You know what I mean? When you need to be focused on what's more important, like family and stuff. You know what I mean?
Right, we chase after stuff that has no value. We can't build no wealth with it. You know, you build all your, it's all material possession. At the end of the day, that it means nothing. Like you said, buy a home, buy a home, that gives you some wealth right there.
Asset.
It gives you some
That's
leverage.
An asset, something you can sell.
That's an asset.
I mean, you know kind of how black folks are to a point. Black folks are like them dogs at the Greyhound Park just chasing that rabbit, but they'll never get it, but they think they're going to get it. And they run so hard to get that rabbit, but they never get it. And that's the problem with black folks. You're chasing this rich status, this broke rich status, not the true rich status, and you never get it. You never get it. You're spending all your money on clothes and rims and all this stuff. None of this stuff has any kind of value.
Exactly, bro. And on top of that, too, I'm sure, like, you see this in Houston, too. You know, you got a lot of cats, you know, they're getting the rapping, you know, and they get their little run, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, trying to get a little bit of known fame around the area and whatnot. You know, they might even get 10 years. And after that, they ain't got nothing. It's like, man, you had all these shows, man, you was making tens of thousands of dollars and stuff. And it's like, now you ain't got nothing. You just spent all your stuff up, ain't bought no home, and it's now you just that dude that used to be cool. You know what I mean? It's like, well, where are you putting money up at? If you're making all this money, racking in all this money at one time from rapping or whatever you do, it's like you would think that they would do something to have something to show. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Hey, man, if I come up with some money first, man, I'm going to buy me a house first, man, and pay off all any debt I owe or whatnot, you know what I mean, and make sure my family is good before I go do all that other kind of stuff, man. Really, honestly, myself, I wouldn't do all the other stuff. I'd just be happy with a house and a home, you know, in a nice area. I'd be good, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Now,
this one guy, he made a video on YouTube a while back. He makes some pretty good videos. I don't know if y'all ever heard of him or not, but this YouTuber goes by the name of Mad Voodoo Man.
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
He made this one video though, where he was talking about, and he makes some, they pretty long videos, but he made this one video where he was talking about there's a difference between you know, being rich and having wealth. And he was right, because he was making, like, the correlation between, like, say, for example, he was, like, talking about, like, say, for instance, professional basketball players and football players, you know, as opposed to their owners, you know, the team owners. And he was saying how, you know, he was naming certain players, and he was like, you know, those players are rich, you know. And then he was like, but these owners, they have wealth. And he was right, because I was thinking about it, because I was like, you know, in a few years, a lot of those players that's rich won't have anything.
Team
owners that actually have wealth, they still don't have their wealth.
Yeah, it's only a few people that actually, you know, make money within sports and the music industry, not because they didn't give them the money, because they have no problem giving them the money, because they give it right back to them. That's why they ain't got a problem with it. If these black folks would get these big $100 million contracts and all this other stuff, and they never saw the money again because these brothers have started businesses, they did this, they did that, and they never gave it back to them. Like, well, I don't understand.
Yeah.
How is it all these black men endorsing shoes, but they won't create their own shoe company? They always doing it with Nike
and
Levi's. Why?
Exactly.
I never understood.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Basically, what he was saying was that, you know, the reason why these team owners have wealth and these players don't is because these team owners have other assets, you know, that they invest their money in.
Yeah.
You know, they don't just invest their money in one thing and just be cool with it. You know, these players, a lot of times, and don't get me wrong, they have endorsements and whatnot, but, you know, that's going to only be short-lived, especially if you're indulging in consumerism, you know? So, I mean, he had a pretty good point, I thought.
Let me chime in on something real quick. Cause I need to. We way off base this time. So let me, Ms. Gabrielle, you want to chime in on something?
Yeah, I kind of did. Y'all was having a little fun. So to get back on the topic of domestic violence, I think that a lot of it is the product of the environment. Like I agree with a lot of the points that everyone made about us not spending our money correctly, things like that. Because when you grow up in an environment where you're almost in that welfare state, where it's like your mother is on food stamps, you have different men coming in and out of the house, sometimes it creates children that are more prone to abuse people and to be abused because they're not used to being treated correctly. They, like a lot of these boys are, or a lot of these young boys end up getting molested by their mother's girlfriends, and a lot of these young girls end up getting molested by their mother's boyfriends. That's what I meant, not girlfriends. And sometimes young black men will grow up and become thugs. And it's not even just young black men. It's all races.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see all different nationalities when you're in these environments. But, like, if you live in the inner city, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Latino, whatever. Usually the environment is so hostile that you end up having some thick skin and you become a more violent person, and then you're going to be more prone to violence because you never had an example of how to treat someone correctly. You've never learned how to talk to people. And instead of using your fist to solve an issue, you never learned how to sit down with someone and say, hey, I'm not happy with what you're saying to me, or I'm not happy with what you're doing. Your first response when you get mad is to punch somebody in the face. And, you know, when you're young, you may grow up in an environment where you've seen your mother get slapped around by her boyfriend. Because I've seen instances in my life where some of my younger cousins and younger cousins, younger associates, and things like that have told me that they've seen their mother's boyfriend slap them around, and they've been abused themselves. And so, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them grew up and they were more inclined to violence.
That definitely is true. I definitely believe, like we're talking about environment, you know, being around all that kind of stuff, man. It's just like that lady was saying earlier, that, you know, breaking the cycle. You know, it's hard to break the when you're around all that kind of stuff and that's all you know, it is hard to break the cycle. I definitely agree.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the environment. I mean, if you put a child, you know, in an environment where they don't see all that, then, hey, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, if you put them in an environment where you always see people getting beat and that's just the norm, well, yeah, they're going to probably do that.
Yeah. And I don't mean to cut up out on you early, man, but I got to get up on out of here, man, because I got to feed my kid, man.
Oh, yeah, man, you always got to feed your babies.
Exactly, man. But I appreciate talking to everybody, you know, and I appreciate you having me on your show, man. I really do appreciate that, man. I want to let you know you're doing a good job on your YouTube channel. You know, keep up the good work.
All right, brother. You too, man. See, stay up.
All right, man.
All right. Yeah. So, Ms. Gabriella, let me ask you a question, Ms. Gabriella. Don't you hate when you want to ask a question and your mind go blank?
I mean, it happens to me all the time, so I know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, see, I'm 34 years old. You know, you what's yours?
My mind is just wrapped up in so many things. That's why it's hard for me to say both.
Yeah, usually your mind get wrapped up in too many things. A lot of times it be bills. Mm-hmm. Say, dog, I got to pay that bill. Don't you just hate paying bills?
I think we all do.
Yep.
I don't think I know one person to say, man, I can't wait to pay my bills. The only time you feel that way is when you got money.
Then you're
like,
but even then, you don't want to.
I don't mind paying bills when I got money, Pam.
I'm just glad I got done with these damn student loans so they stop hassling me. Lord have mercy.
Oh Lord, Obama.
Man,
student loan
people, man. Oh, man, that's I don't even want to talk about them student loans, man. Those people, man, they'll call you every... They'll call you every day. I'm like, really?
All you have to do is just get an app on your phone called Miss the Number and block their number, and they can't call you. It's that simple. And if they do call you, just do what I do and say,
I understand that you want your money, but you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, so please leave me alone. And I will pay you when I can, and just call it that.
Yeah, and then did you hear about
I mean, I make my payments. It's just that I'm not going to sit there and allow myself to be harassed.
Yeah, because they'll take your they'll try to take your money out of your income tax too. Them student loan people. But it's a Fed,
yeah,
though, so they got access to your tax return.
Yeah, they pull all that.
Oh yeah. For sure. So shoot, man, I tell you. What you think about it's kind of off base. What you think about your boy 50 Cent getting caught up on domestic violence, man?
I mean, I've been so busy with school.
Well, him and his the baby mama, not the first one, but his second baby mama. I don't know what she aging. I don't know what she is. But they got into it for some reason, and they was arguing. She closed the door or whatever, and he kicked the dough in and hit her, something like that. He destroyed $7,100 worth of stuff, so they charged him with 4 counts of vandalism and 1 count of domestic violence. But he didn't get arrested, though. He got to be arraigned, like, later in the month for it or whatever. Talking about he can carry a penalty up to 5 years in jail. He ain't going to get that. You know that.
He got
money. And T.I. beat
he probably
went to jail 8 months for them
and
guns.
Then,
and
yeah.
He probably destroyed all his stuff anyway that he bought for her.
Yeah. And more than 9 times out of 10, she probably exaggerated anyway. And the reason why I say that is because a guy like 50 Cent that's making that kind of money, he might have got mad like the guy on the other end said, and he might have destroyed some of his stuff or maybe some of her stuff, but I mean, he's not going to be crazy enough to attack this woman like that and ruin what he's got, you know?
No, he didn't like beat her down. Like, he ain't Chris Brown the chick, but you know, he kicked the door in and hit her. That's it. Like I say, because trust me, he the Chris Brown the chick, they had to leak the pictures out. You know that. Yeah, you know, they want to show us as monsters in the media. You know that. So, but the thing is, you know, they probably want to say, oh, Chris Brown, he's a woman beater, and try to attach that. I'm not Chris Brown, 50 Cent. They already talk about Chris Brown. And no matter what Chris Brown do, he always
he's still a woman beater.
Yeah. Female
spoiler. Honestly, I think that I really don't want to talk about this Chris Brown. I'm already sick of it. I don't know how many years he's been, they're still talking about it.
But sometimes
women are very violent. And I think that if you see the kind of language that Rihanna used on Twitter and on other social media sites, I'm not surprised.
She seemed like the type that liked
it. She may have
like
provoked
that.
It. And she actually did say that she liked it. She said in a radio interview that she doesn't like cream puff.
That's why I don't
want
to feel sorry for her too much.
She's like, I like when a man hits me, that means he loves me. Like, I don't know. I'm not quoting her exactly, but that's kind of what she says. She likes the bad boys, so I get hit. So there's some women that actually do seem to really like being abused. That kind of thing turns them on. Some of them, like I had a guy that was trying to date me, and every single time we spoke, he tried to have an argument only because he just liked to try to make up a little. And that was his thing. He's like, I guess that was supposed to, that's the excitement in it for him. Just start a fight. Like, he likes to argue so that later on you can say, oh, I'm sorry, and I care about you, and this and that. And it was the same thing over and over and over.
So I can't live my life like that. All that arguing. I can't do that. I got to have peace.
Yeah, that's why I dropped him after a month. I was like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But a lot of women will sit there and they'll stay around with a man like that because that kind of thing is addictive. There's like that cycle of abuse. There's that whole, you know, there's that big fight that you have, and then there's the makeup phase, and then there's that honeymoon phase that you go into, and you start remembering all the good times and that things like that. And that's why women will sit there and stay with an abusive man for 50 years. Because you've seen, I mean, there'll be cases where there'll be a woman that'll probably have to, that the neighbors will have to call the cops on the guy because the guy's yelling so loud. And it'll happen like every single week. But the woman will still stay with them because it's almost like they're addicted to it, like they love it.
Even though they complain and cry and say, oh, I hate being abused, but it's like, why aren't you leaving?
So,
yeah, I mean,
Gabriella, so basically what you're saying is that to them that's a form of excitement to a certain extent?
Some of them, yeah. I mean, I had a friend that told me that was, I asked her why she was staying with her boyfriend. He wasn't abusing her physically, but he was abusing her emotionally. And she described it as almost like an emotional roller coaster. Because there's that, oh, there's all those ups and downs, and like the crying, and then there's the great sex afterwards, and this is and that. And she loved it.
Female crazy.
So even her head being used as a battering ram, that she was fine with that too?
I mean, she said that she had low self-esteem, and she just felt that she couldn't get anybody else. So, I mean, there was, even though there was guys, there was lots of other guys that were interested in her. She still wanted to stay with that man. The guy wasn't even that attractive, and she said that, I mean, she would give me all these reasons why he was a bad person, and yet she still stayed with him, even though he was cheating on her, even though he treated her like an animal. She still loved him. Like, she still was talking about, I love him. I want to move in with him. I think that one day, I think we're meant to be, and this is and that. I'm like, are you kidding yourself?
Right. And that's why the level of respect, because I have females that are in my, I have females that are in my family like that. One female in particular, you know, it's a continued cycle. She had a baby with one useless guy, a baby with one useless guy. Oh, he's a liar. Oh, he told me he didn't sell drugs. He just, you want to tell me you didn't know before? And this girl is very highly educated. You know, she went to Stanford. You want to tell me beforehand you didn't know this guy was a drug dealer? I mean, you didn't ask, so what do you do for a living? What are your hobbies? You know, this is why the level of respect for a lot of men and women, and I just don't have it, because there are things that I know you noticed beforehand, but you chose to ignore it. You know, it's just truly pathetic. A lot of us, we like to be in unhealthy relationships, and the way we eat unhealthy, the way we talk full of cuss words unhealthy. It's just like we love it. I don't know. It's pathetic.
Mhm. I love how you brought that point up. That God, but I almost feel like lost my train of thought, but. I think that humans are sometimes inherently attracted to the negative. Because when you see a sign that says, don't touch, in the back of your mind, you're just like, I wonder what would happen if I touch it. And a lot of the times, people really do ignore those negative signs because they're in denial. They create this fantasy in their head of what they want the person to be, and they project that fantasy onto the person. And then... And then they'll sit there, and when they're away from that person, they'll be in their mind, they'll be like, oh, he's not so, even though he hits me, he's not so bad. You know, he's a great guy. He makes me laugh and this and that. Even though the guy might be slapping her across the face, might have broken her nose 3 or 4 times, she'll sit there and still, like a woman will sit there and still have these ideas about the guy. And think that he's perfect, because we humans we just like to romanticize things, and that's another reason why people say it.
And it's like there were countless. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, but here's my thing. I'm not one of those guys that sit around and hate on the bad guy or the thug or the. Or the abusive guy in a relationship or whatnot, whatever you want to call him. But here's my thing. If a woman wants a thug, okay, let her have a thug. Let her have a bad guy. But my thing is this. Don't let your love for the thug discount what you think the good guy could bring to the table. You know, I mean, it's not the good guy's fault that he was raised in a household with both parents. You know, it's not the good guy's fault that he's never been in prison.
Brother, Can I chime in?
Yeah.
Can I chime in on something? I got to a point even about those kind of videos. Like, it's no point to them in the videos no more. Because, like, why big a chick? I ain't for bigging no chick. There's too many chicks out here be bigging these females. They don't want a good dude. They got a female that do want a good dude. And if you know, if she, some reason, let's say if she were, you know, not black or something that just happened like that, well, you know, it is what it is. But you want to be with a sister. That's what a lot of it happens at. Not all sisters are that way, of course not. But, you know, it's like, if that chick is picking up kind of dudes, well, you wouldn't want to be with her because her decision-making is not good. So that's like forgetting the females that want them type of dudes. How I look at it, I mean, that's going to be their loss at the end of the day.
Right. That's very true.
You're right.
And then it makes you look like, you know, you're a crybaby and a sucker because you crying at these dudes getting chicks that you can't. So that's why I say them videos like that, I don't even do them no more. What you want to do is let them be with them. Ain't the kind of chick I want anyway.
Mm-hmm. Because she wouldn't even be attracted to a good man anyway. There'll be a guy that will sit there and treat her like a queen. And she'll run back to that abusive guy because she'll say, oh, the nice guy, he's too boring. He's too soft. I want a real man. You know?
But the problem with a lot of brothers, they picking them chicks, man. Like them two girls that I put up about the sisters that's going to college for, you know, for the two type of doctorate degrees. It's kind of chicks you want to go holler at. Chicks that got something going for themselves. And I know, like, forget them broke females. I don't care how they look. Forget them. You want to meet a chick if you're young in that age. Like, you in college for what? Oh, you about to graduate? Oh, you this? Are you close to it? How's your GPA? You know, you talking about college. Say, oh, shoot, this chick going to have something by herself. Forget them broke females that look good on food stamps. Forget that. She can't do me nothing. And dudes don't figure that out until after they're 30. You know? Man, because sometimes you may get down. You may need a woman to uphold you for a little bit. You know?
It's funny that we're talking about this. When I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
You all right there?
Yeah. Just something with it. Give me a second.
No,
a second.
When I was in high school. Okay.
You okay back there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Do
what? What do you think?
I said this is the joy of having a live show.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it?
Anyway, we only got a few minutes left, so you might as well tell your story.
Yeah, tell your story, bro. 8 minutes.
No, I was just going to say when I was in high school, I was far from a geek. I was running back of my high school and all that. But I grew up into a family where we had variety. You know, I'm huge on jazz, soft rock. I listen to hip-hop also, and I also play an instrument and art. And, you know, I mean, I just have a variety. But I used to like this one girl. Long story short, you know, she was, you know, interested in a thug, tough guy, whatever you want to call it. Ended up going in jail. She ended up having two babies. And, you know, it's just a repeated process. You know, a lot of these females in their youth, you know, you give your best when you're at your best to, you know, the weakest person, you know, the guy with no value, you know, nothing whatsoever. And it's like, when a lot of these females are, you know, 28 plus, 30 plus, you know, a lot of them are pretty much setting themselves up for failure. Me, I'm 29 now. I don't have any kids. I have a successful PCA business that's doing quite well, self-sufficient. A lot of hard work, but, I mean, it's like, basically what I'm trying to say is, I mean, how I can't put value in. And not all women who have, you know, babies out of wedlock. They probably were with a guy for 5-6 years, and, you know, it probably just didn't work out. But for the most part, I mean, a lot of these women are setting themselves up for failure. I mean, in your youth, in your prime, you know, but you gave that away. And it's like, I'm no man, John, and far from it. You know, I just don't want sloppy second. You know, that's why I'm single now.
Well, if you don't have no children, If you don't have no children, then I think you have a right to say you want to be with a woman that don't have children. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if a woman says she, you know, she don't have children, she don't want a man with children, there's nothing wrong with her saying that. You know, I don't see no problem with that.
Yeah. Right, right. That's true. You know.
But you know what irritates me, though? These women that have, you know, a whole gang of kids, and then they have the nerve to sit around and say, well, I don't want a man with kids.
Right.
To me, that's selfish. To me, that's being very selfish. You know, if you got kids, how you gonna sit around and say you won't talk to a man that has kids? That should be who they should be looking for.
That's how I feel about it to a point. I mean, somebody you have something in common with.
Well, we're in America, of course, so everybody feels entitled. And obligated.
Yeah, that's our biggest problem.
I have this, you know. I should have this, you know. But it's crazy.
You got anything to add, Ms. Gabriella?
I mean, do you think that women that have kids end up attracting more abusive men? Because a lot of them, they feel like they can't get a man. Because I remember I had seen one of your shows, one of your YouTube videos, and it was a single mother who was dating a child molester, was it?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I feel that a lot of these single mothers, they feel like, man, I can't get anybody else. I'll take whoever will have me. And it's unfortunate that a lot of single mothers can't, I mean, their stock is down, so they can't have, or they can't get the kind of man that they want. They might be a good woman, but there's always that stigma there that if you have, even if you have just one kid, just sometimes a man will look at you a certain way. They'll look at you as either, they'll be like, oh, man, I'll sleep with her for years, but I'll never date her. I'll never take her seriously. And when they finally find a man who's willing to be their boyfriend, they'll let treat her any way they want. Some of them have such a low self-esteem, they'll just take anything.
And that's sad that, you know, they got women like that. But I've noticed that a lot of times single moms will put themselves out there more. They'll put up with more stuff because they, especially ones that have been single for years and dudes who want to take them seriously. And, you know, it is a difference. Because I'll be honest, a lot of times single mothers will give it up before a chick that ain't got no kids.
Yep. Tell me about it. Yeah,
you laughing? You know?
No, it's the truth. It's just like, and one thing with, you know, that's why, you know, how I am, you know, and you can't help who you are. You know, I told one sister, it was last month. I'm like, I mean, man, don't you want to like, I mean. I asked her, let's go out for some coffee or something like that. And the chemistry was well. And, you know, obviously she was liking me. I was liking her. And, you know, she offered to go for me to go back to her place. And it's just like, man, I mean, don't you want to, like, get to know me? I mean, you have your child here. You know, she doesn't know anything of me. I just don't feel comfortable doing it. I mean, your child is here. I mean, don't you want to get to know me at least? Let's establish that. Let's build something first before, you know, and it's like I've tried, you know, this is three times now to, you know, talk to a female who was a single mother, and it's just like, I mean, I just can't do it. If you're so quick to give it up like this, I mean, what did you do with the last guy? How did he treat you?
Yeah, it's like, why would you want to do that with your kids? They're telling you to come to their house at 11 o'clock at night, and they say the kids asleep and all this other stuff. You know, that's like, that's not cool, man.
Yeah, your kids in the next room. Right.
Your kids aren't. And then that kids end up having, that kind of thing could scar a child for life, hearing, like, if you're hearing your mother having sex with somebody, especially if you're a young man, you're probably going to end up disrespecting women because you're going to be like, man, my mom was a hoe. So that's why a lot of young men end up treating women so badly, because they think they have a low opinion, because a lot of the women that they grew up around acted just like their mother, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's real sad. But like I said, I want to thank everybody for joining the show, even though we were bouncing around tonight. But hey, you know, we're on this show. We just kind of let the conversation flow where it may be. Ms. Gabriella reels us back in, though. She said, y'all fish is going too far away from the boat. So, you know, Mother Gabriella had to put us back on topic.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I call her Mother because sometimes she be getting on to me sometimes. Hey, get back on topic, man. You know? But I appreciate everybody for joining tonight. And, you know, if you ain't got nothing to do, check out the videos I posted on all three channels. Ms. Gabriella, you know, I know you got something to say before we leave.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually a promo model for Addiction Clothing Line. So if you go on addictionco.bigcartel.com, you can use a coupon code called GALVIP13 to get 20% off your entire order.
I'm sorry, you were kind of blurry. I didn't hear that because I support black business. Would you mind saying that again? And what is it? What do you have on the site?
It's an urban clothing line. It's founded by, it's a black business. It's a completely black-owned business. And I'm a promotional model for that company. And if you go on addictionco.bigcartel.com, you can use a coupon code GALVIP13 to get 20% off your entire order. And if you follow me on Twitter, I tweet out this stuff every day. So if you didn't get the clear, like you didn't understand me clearly, you can follow me on Twitter and you can find it there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well. Always a good show, advice. Great show.
Oh, yeah, appreciate everybody joining, and we'll definitely try to come through and see you guys next week.
All right, y'all have a good one.